do come. And Harvest America, by the way, is not brand new. Harvest America has been around since 1990. Actually, Harvest America Crusade is doing their crusade this year for the 26th time. So they've been around for a long time. As a matter of fact, Harvest America, since it started in 1990, has over 5 million attendees. And out of that 5 million attendees, nearly 500,000 people have made professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So therefore, every time you hear Harvest America, it is now, this name, Harvest America, is now synonymous to massive event. Harvest America now is synonymous to stadiums filled with people. Harvest America now is synonymous to thousands and thousands of people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Therefore, the name Harvest America is about knowing or people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, the name Harvest America represents or is associated with God, Christ, salvation, and stadiums filled. Are you following me here? Now, why is that important? Why is the name important? What's in the name? Now, many of you have probably seen or read the William Shakespeare book or play, Romeo and Juliet. Many of us are familiar with it. Now, in the story or play of Romeo and Juliet, one of the beloved scenes there was when Juliet was in the balcony and bemoaning and lamenting the fact that her lover Romeo, has a wrong name. Romeo is a Capulet, but Juliet is a Montague. And during the time, the Capulets and Montagues were enemies, and therefore, her father would never, ever allow a relationship with the Capulet. And so now while they're in the balcony and bemoaning and lamenting, she asked this question, "What's in a name? A rose by any other name would smell just as sweet." So what's in a name? Now beginning today, I am so excited to share with you a brand new sermon series. It's going to be a lengthy series about the names of God. Now, the names of God in this series, it will cover many, many weeks of services here at the church because there are so many names of God. And in spite of the best I could extensive and intensive study of the names of God, it will still not be exhaustive. It will still not be thorough. Why? Because God's name are so enormous. There are so many names of God. As a matter of fact, according to pastor and Christian author Robert Morgan, from his book, He Shall Be Called, he found 350 names of Christ alone. Not even the names of the God the Father and the God the Holy Spirit. But why so many names for God? Well, simple, because God is infinite. God is limitless. God is vast. God is multifaceted. God is multidimensional. Therefore, it takes every single name to describe who God is. But again, I'm only going to uncover to you some of the names of God. And on those names, it will help you understand each name and what each name signifies in this brand new sermon series that I am calling Hallowed Be Your Name. Blessing or His blessed names are His blessings to claim. Hallowed be your name, His blessed names are His blessings to claim. What do I mean by that? Now, what's in a name again as Juliet bemoans? It's everything. Name is everything. It comes to symbolize the character and integrity that a person or an organization possesses. In other words, everything is a name. Everything is wrapped up in your name, in my name, in the name of an organization or a company. As a matter of fact, just to prove my point, let's play a game right now. Are you willing to play a game? Now, very seldom the churches would play a game in the church, but we'll get to play a game. We'll simply call this game association game. In other words, I'm going to tell you a name, and in your head, or if you are brave enough to speak out loud, then you may do so. I'll tell you a name, and tell me, or in your mind, what does it remind you of? Or what does it represent? Okay, you ready? Ready to play this game? Here we go. Donald Trump. Republican? Running to be president? Vulgar? Sometimes. How about this one? How about this one? ISIS. ISIS. When you hear the name ISIS, what comes to mind? Terrorism? Bad? Evil? How about Honda? Reliable? Car makers? Car dealership? How about this one? For those who were born back in the 60s, 70s, the older folks. Monica Lewinsky. There you go, Bill Clinton. It's always associated with Bill Clinton. How about Michael Jordan? Basketball player. Shoes. How about this one? How about this one? Apple. Fruit, food. Technology. iPhone. So what's in a name? It's everything because it symbolizes a person's character and honor. And once a name is marred, once a name is tarnished, it is marred forever. Now, one of the thrills of being a parent, and how many of you are parents here with us this morning? If you're a parent, there you go. One of the thrills of being a parent is you get to name your child, right? It's a good thing that you get to have this opportunity to give your child a name. But I guarantee you, many parents intentionally did not name their child a certain name because every time they hear that name, it reminds them of something they don't want their child to be. Are you following me here? I have never met a girl named Jezebel. I have never met a boy named Judas. I guarantee you, my suspicion is those parents did not name their children Jezebel or Judas. Why? Because those persons' character are so marred, tarnished. They don't want their children to be like them. So what's in a name? Everything that you are. Your entire reputation is wrapped up in your name. That's why you get agitated when someone misuses your name, right? You get agitated when someone is using your name in vain or in an inappropriate way. So now, if we are so serious about our name, its name is everything to us. It's about our reputation. Now, let me ask you this. How about more with God? Do you think God is serious about his name? Absolutely. That's why he commands his people in Exodus 20, verse 7, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Do you think God is serious about his name? Absolutely. So if I were you, I would be very, very careful in saying OMG all the time or JC all the time. And probably you can ask yourself, why is this happening in my life? Ask yourself, am I using God's name in vain? Because if we use God's name in vain, we will not go unpunished. You following me here? That's what he's saying there. Therefore, God is serious about his names. He's so serious about his name and his names because it is everything to him. That's why God tells us to hallow his name. Remember? The prayer of Jesus, the model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 6, 9, it says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now the word hallow, as you see there, hallowed, past tense, is the from the original language of the New Testament Greek. It's the word hagios, which literally means this, to revere, to treat as holy, to praise, or to worship, because halal means to praise, as in Psalm 110, verse 4. It says, give thanks to him and praise his name. He tells us to revere my name. He commands us to worship and praise my name. Why is that? Is God being pompous or haughty? Is God being so selfish and arrogant because it's all about me? No, it's not. It's not. You know why? God wants us to revere His name. God wants us to honor His name, to worship His name, because every name of God is a blessing we can claim. Hallelujah. Are you following me here? God did not just throw in a name and say, that's my name, take it or leave it. No, He gives us a name because every single name of God is a blessing. Hear me out, Cap Rock Church, come on now. It's a blessing to claim. I love what Christian author Dick Pernell said. No matter what your present situation, God has a name that can meet your every need. Does that make sense to you? I hope it does. Now, here's what God says about that. Look at Psalm 72, 17 and 19. May His name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Why is that? Why do you want your name to continue, God? Watch this now. All nations will be blessed through Him. They will call Him blessed. His name, we want His name to endure, to keep on going, way past Harvest America time. Why? Because if His name continues or endures, we get the blessing. Amen? Now look at verse 19 of the same chapter. Praise be to His glorious name forever. Why do we want to praise the name of the Lord forever? Because may the whole earth be filled with His glory. Now, what is glory? It's the blessings of God. We were just saying that a while ago. You know, show us your glory. Show us your glory. Why? Because when the glory of God is present with us, we are taken care of. That's why we cry out to God, glory. We want your glory, oh Lord God. See, every time we revere and understand and what His name signifies, and we know all of that, and we worship His name, we get to claim a blessing associated with that name. That's why God tells us in His Word, trust in the name of our Lord. For instance, there in Psalm 33, 21, in Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. You know, God tells us, love my name, call upon my name, cry out to my name, praise my name. Why? Because every name of God comes with a blessing for us to claim. And one of those names that we have to understand fully so we can claim the blessing associated with it is the personal and proper name of God, Yahweh. Now, how many of you have heard of that name, Yahweh? Many of us. Do you know what that means? Do you know what it signifies? Well, let's find out as we turn to the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 13 through 15. Exodus chapter 3, 13 through 15. And in honor of the reading of the Word of God, let's all stand, please. Exodus 3, 13 through 15. And if you have found it, shout Yahweh. Yahweh. Exodus chapter 3, 13 through 15. Moses said to God, suppose I go to Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is His name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I need for you to open your Bible and maintain your Bible open in Exodus chapter 3 because we're going to go back to this over and over again. But let's do a quick Bible study of this book. Now, the book of Exodus is part of the Torah, part of the laws of God, part of the Pentateuch, part of the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now, the book of Exodus, no doubt, was written by Moses. Why? Because the book says it. You see that in Exodus 17, 14, Exodus 24, 4, Exodus 34, 27. Moses wrote the book of Exodus. Now, the word Exodus is a Latin word which literally means this, to exit or to depart or to depart or to go out. Now, the book of Exodus tells us the greatest miracle in the Old Testament concerning the history of Israel. It is when they departed or exited out of Egypt and out of their slavery. However, even though the beginning of the history of Israel started in Genesis, its history continued on through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Therefore, the book of Exodus is not something that is intended to exist separately. If you read the book of Exodus, you cannot just read it by itself without understanding Genesis and the succeeding books after the book of Exodus. Now, one of the main primary themes of the book of Exodus is God talks about His name. God talks about His name, and one of those names is Yahweh. Now, let's look at the context. I've given you the overview of the book of Exodus. Let's look at the context. Here in chapter 3, this is the time when Moses, after he fled Midian, why? Because he killed an Egyptian guard, because the Egyptian guard was beating up one of his folks, one of the Hebrews. So he killed him at age 40, and he fled Egypt. He exited out of Egypt, and he went to a small town called Midian. And there he became a shepherd, a herdsman. Well, he was there for the next 40 years of his life, now at age 80 years old. It's not too late to be called by God, even when you're 80 years old. There are still great things you can do for God at age 80. So if you're below that, a whole lot more you can do. Just put that on a side note. Now, when Moses was there doing his shepherding work, God appeared to him in a burning bush. That's the story of chapter 3. This is where we pick up the story. And during that conversation back and forth, of course, we know the story. Moses was complaining, "It's not me, I don't know how to talk. I'm old now, blah, blah, blah," all these excuses. But God was still encouraging him, "No, you're the man, no, you're the man, no, you're the man." All right? So now, finally, God said, "Okay, all right, you're the man. If you think I'm the man, okay." Moses said this, okay? Look at verse 13. Let's pick up the story. Moses said to God, "Suppose," I love that word, "suppose." You know, he's saying, in case I consider your offer, in case that I would say yes to it, that's why he said, "Suppose." He said, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' They ask me, 'Okay, what's his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" Now look at verse 14 and 15. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." Verse 14 or 15 now. God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, which I am to be remembered from generation to generation.'" God said to Moses, "Tell them, I am who I am. Tell them, I am the Lord." No, those are phrases, aren't they? Those are phrases, names of God in our English Bible. They translated it from the original language of the Old Testament into English, and the best they could do is to translate the name of God, "I am who I am the Lord." However, in the original language of the New, or rather Old Testament, that phrase's names actually is a single word. It's the name of God, Yahweh. Yahweh, which literally means this. Yahweh means the self-existent one. You following me here? the self-existent one. In other words, God is independent. God is not dependent. God is complete in himself. God is all-sufficient. In other words, he doesn't really need you and me. God is self-sufficient and complete in his own being. That's what it means. God is Yahweh. However, as he explains this name to Moses, he tells Moses what they signify, or what those names, or his single name in Hebrew, what his single name signifies to them at that time, even up to us now. Look at verse 14 again. God said to Moses, I am who I am. That means the first significance of the name Yahweh is this: he is always unchangeable. He is always unchangeable. Verse 14 again, I am who I am. Now, only God can make that statement. You and I cannot say that statement consistently. Only God can. Why? Because God is the only one that is unalterable, unchangeable, immutable. He is what he's supposed to be. Are you following me here? That is a statement that we cannot really say because we do change. But God is the same throughout the ages. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Revelation 1:8, same thing. I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and is to come, the Almighty God. God can make that statement, I am who I am, because he will never change and he will not change his name. Unlike this unfortunate guy who was born to the Stink family. In other words, his last name is Stink. His name is Charlie Stink. So all growing up years, he was teased all the time because his last name was Stink. Now, when he became an adult, he went to work, and his co-workers and friends advised him, change your name. Change your name so you don't get to be teased anymore. Change your name. So after they're coercing him and coaxing him to change his name, he decided, okay, I'm going to change my name. So he went to the courthouse, and guess what? He changed his name. The next day, he went back to work, and his associates and co-workers said, so did you get to change your name? Yes. So what did you change your name to? And he said, my new name now is George Stink. He didn't get it. But God can make that statement, I am who I am, because he doesn't change. But we cannot claim, people are still laughing about that story. Isn't that funny? I love that story. But you and I, in reality, we cannot make that statement, I am who I am, because we change. We get older, we grow hair, we lose hair. You know, we are bigger, then we're smaller. We gain muscle mass, we lose muscle mass. You know, we are here today, gone tomorrow. You know, at one point you have six-pack, now you got a keg. See, we change. We change all the time. Therefore, we cannot say, I am who I am. And even if you are a Christian, you cannot really say, I am who I am as a Christian. It's not. If you're saying that I am who I am as a Christian, then now you're not leaving yourself or giving yourself a room for God to change you and mature you in your faith. See, God's purpose for your life is to be Christ-like. Let me ask you this. Are you Christ-like now? No. So that means there's still room for you to change, to improve, to mature, to develop, to grow in your relationship with God. So therefore, you cannot say, I am who I am as a Christian. No. It's not possible. You cannot say that. Why? Because you are not what you're supposed to be. Are you following me here? There is still for you to change, room to change, and to improve it. And mature in your faith. However, God can claim that statement, I am who I am, because God is he who's supposed to be. God is unchangeable. He's always unchangeable. But folks, That truth, that significance of the name Yahweh as being unchangeable is a blessing for us to claim. We can live by that. Why? Because if God is unchangeable, that means His love for you is not going to change. Hallelujah! God loves you. You cannot do more or less for God to love you more or less. He loves you, period. That means God is consistent when it comes to forgiveness. That means don't be feeling guilty that after you repented of your sins and you still feel that sin inside of you or that God did not really forgive you. That's a lie from hell. Listen, when at the moment that you repented of your sins, God has forgiven you of your past, present, and future sins. It's all completely wiped away. Praise God. And it's not going to change. Why? Because He's Yahweh, unchangeable. Same thing when it comes to His mercy. His mercy is not going to change. It is consistent. Why? Because He is a merciful God. That means you cannot outrun the mercy of God. You cannot say, I am so far away from God now, and therefore I am not going to obey God or follow God because I am just too far away from God. It's not true. You have not gone too far away from Him. As a matter of fact, anytime you can go back to Him and He receives you with His arms open wide. Praise God. That's a blessing of God being unchangeable. Whatever difficulty or hardship or whatever is happening in your life, God is unchangeable. Hear me out. What does it mean in a practical sense for God to be unchangeable? It means this: God is not and never will turn you down, turn you away, or turn His back on you. Never. Hear me out. If there's only one thing you will take home from this message today, it's the truth that God is not going to turn you down, turn you away, nor turn His back on you. So God being unchangeable, what do I do? Come to Him. Come to Him. He's not going to push you away. He's not going to shove you away. He's going to receive you with arms open wide because that's who God is. And He's not going to change. Why? Because He is unchangeable, and that is His name. Second, He is always helpful. The name Yahweh signifies He is our ever-present help. Look at verse 14. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent you. Now, it's interesting that this time He dropped the phrase, I am who I am. He just left Himself by saying, I am. Now, this, by the way, is a proof of the deity of Jesus. That Jesus is the very God Himself. Because God said, my name is I am. And Jesus said the same thing. In John 8:58, it says this. Jesus speaking, I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Love that. I am. There was another situation when they're trying to arrest Jesus and they were saying, who is Jesus? And God said, I am. And they all fell down. Did you know about that story? Just because God said, or the Lord Jesus said, oh, you're looking for me? My name is I am. Boom. They fall. Now here, when God said, my name is I am, the name Yahweh is actually the verb, action word, to be. To be. So that means this. The verb to be is always in present tense. In other words, when God was saying, I am always present. I am in the now. I am in the moment. I am at this time. Are you following me here? Come on, wake up. We don't like grammar in school, don't we? But that's what it means, being present. I am present. So what He's saying there to Moses is this: I am always going to be your ever-present help because I'm here. I'm always here. I don't go anywhere. I'm with you, in you, above you, under you, below you, or behind you. I am always there. I am your ever-present help. That's what He's saying there. That's why God did not say, I was, I will be, or I have been. He said, I am. Every second of human history is in the present tense to God. He was assuring Moses, I am your forever present help in the time of trouble and need. I'm always there for you to help. I don't see here right now, but on Wednesday, Adrian was telling us this story that she thought Wednesday was her last day on earth, last Wednesday. See, well, she was driving on Cooper Street when suddenly an 18-wheeler, a big rig, sideswiped her. And so she veered her car and she ended up driving on the wrong side of the street. In other words, against the traffic. And so now she panicked and she started crying out to God. And she said, God, help me. And she said this to us. And instantaneously and miraculously, she found her car being moved and was placed in the right direction of traffic. And not only that, the traffic from both sides of the traffic stopped. And by the time she knew it, she was heading back home. Praise the Lord. Psalm 46 verse 1 tells us, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. God is always helpful. Now ask yourself, did you ask God to help you this morning? Do you ask God to help you? Do you ask God only in your big things or only also in your small things that you struggle with in life? Listen, the best prayer, hear me out, the best prayer you can tell to God is this, God, help me. Your prayer doesn't have to be this pompous, pastoral, rhetorical, oratorical, eloquent prayer, just like when we attended the prayer meeting there for the Harvest America. Some of the pastors were praying great prayers. And I'm not saying those are wrong prayers. There are pastors. So they're praying all these great prayers. But if you are humble and sincere, your prayer is as effective as theirs. When all you need to say is, God, help me. Did you know that before I stood up from there and came up here to share this word to you, first thing I said to God is, God, help me. I always pray, God, help me before I teach. God, help me before I go to work. God, before I get a patient out of bed, especially the big folks. I said, God, help me. You know, before I get a haircut, God, help me. Oh, help her, whoever's going to cut my hair. You know, but that's the best thing you can say. The best prayer ever is simple. God, help me. What do you struggle with today? Tell it to God. Say, God, your name is Yahweh. You're always helpful. Help me. And He will. Why? Because He's not going to change. That is His name. He's not going to lie to His own name. And then thirdly, His name signifies that He is always faithful. He is always faithful. Look at verse 15. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord. Did you notice the word Lord all in uppercase? Now put this in parentheses. Every time you read that in your Bible, the Lord, or just the single word Lord in uppercase, that's the proper personal name of God, Yahweh. But every time it is substituted by the word Lord with only the first letter L in uppercase, that's Adonai. See, it came to the point that the Israelites thought of pronouncing the name Yahweh as too holy and too sacred, so they refrained themselves from saying the name Yahweh. Instead, they started calling God Adonai, which literally means Lord, Master. And here's another proof of the deity of Jesus being God. The translation of Adonai in the Old Testament, when it was carried over to the New Testament, addressing Jesus as the Lord, was the word kurios in Greek. So that means kurios and Adonai are one and the same. So therefore, God, Jesus, is the Adonai, the Kurios, and the Yahweh. Praise the Lord. But here, God said, tell the Israelites, the Lord. And then what? Look at verse 15. The God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. That's His name, is Yahweh, the Lord. And this name, Yahweh, my name, this is my name forever. That means it's not going to change. And the name by which I'm going to be remembered from generation to generation. Did you read that? So God said, my name is forever. This name, Yahweh, is forever. And it's going to be remembered in generation to generation. Now, let me ask you this. What does forever mean? It means forever. It means endless, right? So now what does remember mean? What does remember mean? It means to recall, to bring to mind, not to forget. So now you put that together. God said, my name is forever and it's going to be remembered. So therefore, you're going to endlessly recall my name. Now, let's put that in a practical sense so we can all relate. When do you remember a name or endlessly recall a person's name? When the person did a crime or bad things, like Hitler or Bin Laden, we try to forget those names, don't we? But when they do something that's faithful, when they are loyal, when they are committed, when they are devoted, when they are truthful, we endlessly recall their names, such as Billy Graham or Greg Laurie. They have been so faithful for many, many years to evangelize the world. How about Mother Teresa? We always remember that name because of her faithfulness in serving the people in Calcutta, India. How about Douglas MacArthur, General MacArthur? He was so faithful in giving that promise to the Filipino people that I shall return. Or how about the late Supreme Court Judge, Antonin Scalia? He was faithful in being a voice to the unborn. Why? Because Scalia was pro-life. Now, if we remember endlessly those names and we recall those names because of their faithfulness in what they did or doing, then how much more the faithfulness of God? Listen, God is faithful because that's who He is. There will never be a time that God will not be faithful to you or to me or to His people because God's name means faithfulness. Yahweh means faithfulness. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Listen, God is faithful. Even if you're going through hardship right now, God will carry you through. Why? Because God is faithful. God is going to be the same to you and as faithful to you. He will deliver you. He will restore your joy. He will forgive you. He will heal you. He will give you inner peace. He will provide for you. He will direct you. He will guide you. Why? Because God is faithful. God is faithful. He is always going to be the same to you. So if you're going through a difficult time right now or hardship in time, listen, you're going to come out of it. There will be an end to it. Why? Because God is faithful. When David was needing a blessing of victory, remember the story? When he's about to approach Goliath, he said this to him in 1 Samuel 17:45, "You come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. I come to you in the name of Yahweh." When Peter was needing a blessing of healing for a lame beggar at the temple, here's what he said in Acts 3:6. "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ." The name of Jesus Christ is the great I am of Nazareth. Walk. And he did. Today we need a blessing of salvation to the unbelievers who are going to attend Harvest America. So what do we do? We cry out on the name of Yahweh and we say, Acts 4:12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name but the name of Yahweh Jesus alone under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Folks, yes, hear me out. Yes, the blessed name of God, Yahweh, is to be revered. But it is also a powerful tool for us to receive His blessings according to that name. So this evening or this morning, would you trust in the name of the Lord Yahweh? Let's pray.